This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Heiter Construction. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending on the campaign trail?
Oh, not a good night last night for Liz Cheney. Did not go so well. Liz Cheney lost by, I think, 1,000,000,000%. And that is the specific number that I saw on TV last night. She got creamed. She got absolutely creamed. And everyone knew it was going to happen. Again, this was not a shock. Everyone knew that her polling was in the toilet. She decided that she was all about herself and her vindictive nature towards President Trump. She views herself as a hero. She thinks she is the one who's standing in the way of Donald Trump becoming president again, and she will never lose her main purpose now in life, which is to protect democracy. And there was a moment last night in her concession speech that was truly remarkable.
The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our union, and he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
Hey, Liz. I can dig up the mummified corpse of Abraham Lincoln, send him on a train going through every single state in the continental United States, put his name on every single ballot in every single state, and he stands a better chance of becoming president or having any shot at a political future than you do. The mummified corpse of Abraham Lincoln would beat Liz Cheney.
Burn.
I would pay to see that debate. That she compares herself to Abraham Lincoln is remarkable. I mean, that is remarkable. He saved the Union, so she thinks she's going to save this country. I don't know how she plans on doing that. Now, I know that, truthfully, what she's thinking about doing here is run as an independent and try to stymie President Trump, who I'm assuming is going to run for president again. Now, she was on this morning with the Today Show.
I will be doing whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office.
Well, I know you didn't say yes or no, and that's fine if you're thinking about it, but are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about running for president?
Yes.
That's a decision that I'm going to make in the in the coming months, Savannah. I'm not going to make any announcements here this morning, but it is something that I'm thinking about, and I'll make a decision in the coming months.
Yeah, I'm sure you're thinking about it. Does anything that comes out of her mouth sound like she cares about anything other than Donald Trump? When you come from a state that voted for Trump 70% to 30, 70% support in the state, and you decide that you're singularly going to be focused on destroying Donald Trump, you're not going to get support there. And frankly, you're not going to get support across the country. She's not a Democrat, so she can't run as a Democrat. I was on with Newsmax earlier this morning on the National Report, and they asked me about her political future, and she has none. And even the Democrat who was on the panel with me said, Jason Rance is right, which, by the way, is something he should always say because I'm always right.
Everyone should always just say that.
She has no political future because she can't run as a Democrat because she's not a Democrat. She's a hardcore conservative. She's a hawkish conservative. She is just focused and obsessed with Donald Trump. So Republicans don't want her. Republicans want nothing to do with her. The RNC campaigned against her for the other Republican who ended up winning and will be the next congresswoman from the state of Wyoming. Liz Cheney has no future. Now, Sarah Palin, who also ran out of Alaska for an open congressional seat, that's a really, really interesting race because Alaska, for the first time, did the rank voting, meaning you've got a whole bunch of people who are running, and in the state of Alaska, you get to vote for the top four candidates who end up going through to the general. Now, when you have four candidates running, it could really, really, or four candidates going through, it could really screw things up. It can make things really, really confusing. And here's why. Under the rules of ranked voting, the person who hits 50% first, who gets 50% plus of the vote, that person automatically wins. However, if someone doesn't hit 50, and let's say like you had last night with the Democrat in the lead, I think she was at 36, 37%, Pelota. She's the Democrat. She got to 37%. Palin came in number two, and Nick Bevich came in number three. Those two, obviously, Republicans who split the vote. Democrats being in the lead in this kind of race doesn't actually matter. Same thing with in Washington's 3rd Congressional District with Joe Kent. So what ends up happening is, let's say there are 10 people running. Okay, the 10th person who got the 10th amount of votes, those votes get redistributed. So if you picked Peyton as the next congressperson from Alaska, he obviously would do the worst there.
But I'd win.
No, you'd win last place. That's one thing. So after I vote for Peyton as number one, I also then vote for someone as number two. So let's say I vote for Nick Bevich, number two. Okay, so now he gets that vote. All those votes get distributed. The reason why I don't like ranked voting is because it will always give an advantage. The system itself of voting will always give an advantage to someone. It doesn't always advantage the Democrat. It doesn't always advantage the Republican. But it always advantages, gives an advantage to one particular candidate who did not get the most votes. It usually does that. So here's what happens. Let's say you get to the point where Pelota, the Democrat, isn't number one. Sarah Palin's number one. And then you get Bevich number two, and then you get the Democrat, whoever it happens to be, number three. Well, Democrats most likely hate Sarah Palin. They really loathe Sarah Palin. You either like her or you don't. She is a polarizing figure in Alaska. So their number two vote might go to Bevich. Likely go to Bevich if they vote, because you don't have to do any of the ranking. You just vote for one person. But then if you go into the second round of voting, because no one hit the 50% mark, well, his votes will then help Bevich over Sarah Palin, even though in the first round of voting, Sarah Palin might have gotten the most votes. So that's why I think it's just absolutely wrong the way that this is operating. Now, the other folks looked at, a lot of folks, the pundits, looked at Lisa Murkowski, who was very much a moderate Republican. She's voted with Republicans in a lot of cases where it did matter a lot. But also she voted with Democrats when it also mattered a lot. And so Donald Trump doesn't like her. He likes her candidate, whose last name is Chewbacca, but it's spelled differently. Poor woman. Oh, my God. I would tease the hell out of her. But she came in number two. Lisa Murkowski was always going to advance because there are four people who can advance. She has high name recognition. Here's the problem with that. If Chewbacca comes in number one the first round and Murkowski comes in number two the first round and no one hits 50, well, candidate number three and number four end up having their votes distributed. Who's a Democrat more likely to vote for? Lisa Murkowski, who votes with Democrats a large chunk of the time, or the Trump-backed Republican who will almost never vote with Democrats? It would help Lisa Murkowski. That's why I just don't like this process. If you want to have four people advancing to the primary, okay, I think that sucks. But okay, fine. In this particular case, it's wrong. It hurts certain candidates. It helps others. And it doesn't really get us any closer to a representative democracy. They do this in Maine. They did this in a local election, or at least elections on the local level in New York City. And a lot of people are like, eh, I don't like it. And by the way, it's going to take like 17 years before we get an answer, or a month or so, before we get an answer as to who's going to win, at least in the primary side. It just takes too much time. 1-800-465-8770. If you want to join the conversation, send me a text. 1-800-465-8770. We're getting some text messages in. Peyton for president. They are all misspelling your name as I look at this.
That's okay. It's not a write-in. I'll have a full campaign. But every if I person. Was a write-in, it's with an A.
Thanks, Peyton. Enjoyed your humor and wish you the best.
Oh, I'm funny.
Peyton, good luck teaching. We will miss you. He's becoming a teacher. And then something about Dan Bongino.
Well, that's fair. Wasn't about you. That's fair. Dan's cool.
If you missed me this morning on Varney and Company or the National Report, I post all of my videos on our social media channels. Text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
A watch has been issued by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA, or also known as NOAA.
Not everything needs to be an acronym
like
that.
Well, it is.
NOAA is fine.
It's the NOAA has issued a watch if you want to be disappointed while looking for the Aurora Borealis in Western Washington tonight through Thursday. Apparently, it's supposed to go down all the way into Oregon if you want to pretend to be enamored with some weird lights happening in the sky. A G3 geomagnetic storm could provide a show as far south as Oregon. Starting tonight, the Northern Lights or Aurora Borealis are lights in the night sky caused when solar winds create disturbances in the magnetosphere, or it's alien technology going haywire and really just signals the end of times at some point in our futures.
How come Aurora Borealis isn't like a climate crisis? How come that hasn't got, you know, put onto that whole sort of hype train?
They do. When they call it a disturbance, it makes it sound like it's a bad thing. This is harmless. This is completely harmless.
And I know,
by the way, I don't know what solar winds
it.
Are. Solar winds. So winds caused by the sun?
Yes. Bingo. You haven't seen movies?
Well, it's always, they're always a little...
I think solar winds was a big cause of that Nick Cage movie, The Knowing.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And it killed everyone.
Yeah, with the big sun explosions and
okay,
stuff.
Well, then it is a disturbance and we're all going to die.
You should watch more Nick Cage movies.
I did like The Knowing. That was a good movie. The best way to see it will likely be using time-lapse photography or long exposure photos. So go Google how to do any of that and pray you actually get to see it. Otherwise, you're going to be like me, an idiot who decided to go in Iceland in freezing weather on a stupid boat filled with other people who were just looking up and realizing we can't see anything because of the clouds.
That was 15 years ago, and you're still complaining about it.
That was 5 years ago, and I'm still cold.
Well, you've aged horribly then.
God, it's the most annoying thing. And they were like, oh, you know, we guarantee if you don't see it, we'll pay for you to go the next day. I don't want to go on the stupid boat the next night. It was 2 hours. I was just sitting there freezing, and all you had on the stupid ship, or the boat, wasn't even a ship, was hot chocolate.
I mean, what else would you have done?
And then you got to put on that big, like, fisherman's thing that makes it so that you're not cold, but I was still cold the whole time.
You're such a whiner. God, you make us look bad.
Shut up. Push the button.
What's trending in Peyton's world?
Well, troopers pursued a suspect who was possibly a DUI driver. It was not Peyton. This was a woman who was apparently impaired. This, according to the Washington State Patrol. It started in Federal Way. Happened a little bit after 10 a.m. this morning, which will indicate that Peyton was running a little bit late to work today.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus with that.
She apparently was showing some signs of impairment while she was pulled over in a rest area. That's when the troopers went up to her and were all like, hey, what's going on over there, little lady? And she did not like the little lady part. I made it up, but it gives a little bit of character to the story. And she decided to not listen to anything that they said, according to the Washington State Patrol, and she just drove off. And when she drove off, she ended up hitting one of the troopers' cars. So they go ahead and chase her all the way into Seattle. Little did they know that an Asian producer who looks Latino was going to play a role in her getting caught. Because it turns out, you almost died today, Producer Peyton.
I almost did. On the way in, I was almost involved in this pursuit with this woman accused of DUI.
Peyton, late to his last day in the office...
I was late because of all this.
No, it happened behind you, dummy. I'm not going to fall for that. He sees the car speeding up behind him, almost hits you.
Yeah, it was. I was in like the middle lane of I-5. This is right about at Michigan. I was the last car that came up.
By West Seattle Bridge.
Yep, I was the last car that came up in like a slowdown 5-mile-an-hour traffic. Looked in my rearview mirror and somebody was not doing 5 miles an hour. They were going much faster than that and they had no signs of slowing down. I kind of veered to the right. They went left, and then that's why I saw like 5 state troopers pass me in the HOV lane.
How close did she come to hitting you?
I was pretty much out of the lane, but...
No, just say it was razor thin.
5 feet, maybe a little more, maybe 8 feet.
5 inches.
5 inches, Jason.
You saw your life flash before your
eyes. Now you can understand why I was late to work today.
Because something happened behind you on the freeway.
Well, yeah, and I had to stop for a coffee before that. Because it's my last day, so I deserved a coffee on the 1 hour commute that I make into the office. So, of course, I'm going to.
Wouldn't it be something if you died on the way into your last day?
It's because of that coffee stop. No, but former producer Darren sent me a clip on Instagram, and I see my car in the highlight reel. Is that a highlight reel? I don't think I can call it a highlight. Anyways, my car is right there on the traffic cams, almost getting hit.
That's funny. They ended up. They tried to do a pit maneuver that apparently didn't work the first time.
Right next to my car.
Then they did it again or did some sort of maneuver that ended up pushing this car into a semi. That's how they got the car to stop. She ends up getting arrested. on the I-5 North freeway. I mean, that's kind of wild. They end up closing at least three lanes for, I believe, 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours before reopening it. But that's kind of wild because I said at the time that you texted me saying this happened, one of two things is responsible for this, because in the state of Washington, you cannot pursue vehicles under most circumstances. So number one, it would be due to a probable cause that a violent act had occurred, a violent crime, which is a very, very high bar. The other one hasn't changed at all, which is reasonable suspicion of DUI. So they had reasonable suspicion of DUI. You certainly don't want this person just driving drunk all over the place if you're able to stop her. And so they went ahead and they – did you assume that it was a male?
I did. I was so surprised to see that it was a woman. We always do that on
this
show.
That's true equity right there. It turns out women can be belligerent drunks as well.
Granted, it's been about 8 months since we've reported on a crime that was committed by a woman, but okay, here we are.
You know, whatever. I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I'm just saying. So I'm glad you didn't die, but
– I'm dead to you as it is already, so.
Yeah, you're dead to me for leaving, but also remember one thing.
What?
There's still the drive home. And I hold no responsibility whatsoever for what happens there. I might feel a little bit guilty for having you come into the office today, right? Because you're coming in to work for me. After 6 o'clock, you're no longer on. We already shut off your email.
I know.
So if you die afterwards, I hold no guilt whatsoever.
No,
not even a little bit.
I'm away and away from KTTH, so it can't be on you in any sort of way.
Let's find out what else is trending. Right about
what's trending. Technology.
How ironic. Producer Max was having a problem with the technology on a segment that's titled Technology. I don't know if this counts as technology, though, because the New York Times has the story out there about how some people decided to purchase electric vehicles, EV vehicles, right? EV. And they did it at the behest of Democrats and environmentalists, only to end up becoming upset that they can't get a battery because they're made overseas and the waiting list is sometimes months and months and months long. But there's some people who got lucky and were able to purchase the vehicles. They were able to afford them. They decided to do it because of a variety of reasons, not just environmental reasons, but it cuts down on the cost of gas. So you have a financial incentive to go ahead and purchase the EV. However, they too were upset and disappointed because we do not have the infrastructure to handle these vehicles anywhere. So let's say we've got Labor Day coming up, and let's say you want to do like a weekend road trip. You don't want to have to deal with the mess over at SeaTac. You're going to stay close. Maybe you're going to, you know, you're going to drive from Lake Stevens to the Oregon coast with the family. You got a nice Airbnb. You're pretty pumped to do it. So you go ahead and you drive down there. Where in the world are you going to plug in? That is a rather long drive. And your vehicle is not going to last round trip off of that one battery. So where do you plug in? I assume you can make it to the Oregon coast unless there's like a crazy amount of traffic, which usually there is. Once you're there, then what? Seriously, then what? What are you supposed to do on the Oregon coast? Because they don't have very many, if any at all, of these plugging stations. On top of that, according to the New York Times, they say one recent study found that about a quarter of the public charging outlets in San Francisco Bay Area, where electric cars are commonplace, were not working. A quarter of them were not working. It says a major effort is underway to build hundreds of thousands of public chargers. The federal government alone is spending $7.5 billion. But drivers of electric cars and analysts said that the companies that install and maintain the stations need to do more to make sure those new chargers and the more than 120,000 that already exist are reliable. So that's the problem. The ones that do exist don't work. A lot of them don't work. There are too few of them. That's 120,000 for the entire country. How many do we have here in Washington State? Very few. And certainly not in places enough for you to justify these kinds of long drives. And it's getting a lot of people who are thinking about getting an electronic vehicle. They're getting a lot of people wondering, is it really worth it at this point? And the answer is clearly no. I wouldn't buy an EV at this point if I was looking for a car. I would get a gas guzzling car.
I think I'm probably 5 years away from going EV.
You shouldn't, because in 5 years, we're still not going to have enough infrastructure.
So all the new construction is planning ahead for all of these things. All these parking lots that are being built with brand new construction are required to have complete electric fields underneath for those charging stations.
How many do you think they're going to have?
a dozen. Okay. That's it.
Well, there's a bunch of other idiots who are doing the same thing that you're doing, thinking, oh, in 5 years, it's going to... It's not a good idea yet. We're just not there yet. 1-800-465-8770. When we come back, we'll say goodbye to Peyton for good, finally. If you want to wish him a farewell, you can send a text at 1-800-465-8770. To the Jason Rant Show. Very dramatic music. I guess it's because we're saying goodbye to producer Peyton, who...
Hello.
I'm saying bye.
Hi.
No, stop it. I'm saying goodbye to you.
Oh.
You're not supposed to say hi when we're saying goodbye. It's just confusing.
Hola.
So Peyton is leaving. He made when did we make the announcement? Last week, I think. We'd known about it for 6 weeks or so. He's taking a job as a teacher in a phony field, but it's fine. You know, he's teaching.
Thank you for your support.
VizCom, which is visual communications, which is something you can learn on Twitter by just following a few accounts, like Adweek or something. So he's teaching that to a bunch of snotty kids. And I mean, it's true. That's what you're going to do.
You're a little biased, but okay.
I don't like kids. I find. Well, how old are they going to be? Is that high school?
High school. So 9th grade to 12th grade.
And they'll have respect for you because you're barely out of high school yourself. And in fairness, you still look like you're in high school. And someone's going to assume that you're a student. And you're going to constantly have to tell all your colleagues that you're a teacher there and you deserve to be in the teacher's lounge. Well, so just get used to that now.
I think as a teacher, you're supposed to like wear your badge around your neck all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's going to differentiate me more than anything. But yeah, there's going to be a good 70% of students that are taller than me.
The other problem here, and this is a problem for all the drug dealers at that school, because at some point the principal is going to come up to you and say, hey, Peyton, come over here. We need you to go undercover. We need you to find out who's selling this rainbow fentanyl. That's a big thing now in the Pacific Northwest. So go out there and just, you know, you look like a student. Just go into homeroom and just, you know, just report back.
Did you, just watch 21 Jump Street for the first time?
This is a reality for you. That is the new reality for Peyton because he looks like he's 17 years old. So producer Max is taking over, and we introduced him in a way yesterday. He somehow doesn't think he has an accent, which is just bizarre to me. Say hello.
Hello.
Who are you?
Producer,
what's your backstory?
Max.
What's your back? Tell us who you are.
I grew up on the east side. You guys have opined on where I lived. Bothell, Woodinville, Kirkland, whatever. I've been everywhere.
Just go with Kirkland. I feel like that's the
better. That's what Kirkland annexed where I live. We kept getting annexed into different parts of the
So you lived
east
side. In the part of the area that no one wanted to take ownership of.
Essentially, yes.
Okay. You left. You went to college and high school in Oklahoma.
I went to high school here, went to college at Oklahoma State, worked at local radio station for 5 years, kind of in the Tulsa area, and then now I'm here.
Now you're here. We convinced you to come here. He actually started on Monday after making the 30-hour drive from Oklahoma. He said, can I have just one extra week? And I said, no, you have to be here on Monday. And so he came, and that's if he said no to that, that would send a message. But you're here. You're taking over for Peyton. Peyton, what kind of advice did you give Max?
To avoid contact with you as much as humanly possible throughout the workday while you're doing show prep. Don't make direct eye contact. Mm-hmm. Don't wear hair gel. No shorts in the office. No
definitely
open-toe
no
shoes.
Shorts. Ugh. No sandals. No shorts and sandles.
Yeah. No. None of that.
Sandals and slacks, though.
No sandals.
No sandals.
You cannot
open-toe
wear sandals
shoes.
in this office.
We'll see.
The no.
No, Peyton, how serious am I?
Jason's very serious.
I have the sense
that is
that
one.
Sometimes when we have these conversations, I get the feeling that the audience thinks we're kidding.
No, Jason is not kidding.
We are not
at any
kidding.
Time.
You are not to wear sandals. You are not to wear shorts in my presence ever. If I'm not here and you think you want to get away with it and hope no one rats you out, they will rat you out because I have former producers who still work in this building and they will send me a text and say, wait a minute, why is Max allowed to wear shorts and sandals here when you told me I couldn't and you yelled at me for a good 35 minutes on air because I made that mistake while also taking video of it and then posting it online?
And them's are the rules. And the thing is, like when COVID happened and Jason was working from home, I kind of tried to push those rules.
Did that work?
So here's the thing is you only worked from home for like 10 days. I remember I wore jogger sweatpants to the office one day. And of course, it was your unannounced first day back. And I walked in and I was so terrified for Jason to see what my outfit choice for work
was. And what was my reaction?
You took a photo of me and posted it on Twitter. And then all of Twitter said, what is Peyton wearing? Why is he wearing that to the office?
Yeah. We take pride in how we look in radio. I know there are a lot of people who work in radio who think that this is something that you can just come in your pajamas. This is not the airport. You don't get to wear pajamas.
Don't do that at the airport. How about that?
You shouldn't do that at the airport because that's not the office.
People wear sandals at the airport.
Wear sandals here.
You have to take off your shoes at TSA, plus planes are disgusting. Don't wear. Max, if you've worn sandals on an airplane, please stop.
Yeah, no one wants to see your dirty feet.
Well,
what else did you tell him just generally about the show in a serious nature? Because there are people who are curious about the behind-the-scenes stuff.
Jason's fun to work with. He gives you a lot of room to be independent and kind of create your own self, both on-air and off-air. He'll allow you a lot of freedom. He doesn't put up with mistakes twice. You can make mistakes once. Mm-hmm. Don't make that same mistake twice.
That's true.
He expects very hard work out of everybody.
Yeah.
He's the hardest worker in the building, the country.
In the country. Maybe even the world.
Maybe even there. You must nod along and say yes to everything he's saying, even if you disagree with it.
Yep.
Tell him he's right all the time. Make sure that he knows that his hair looks good.
That's true.
Refer
to me as a rising voice in the conservative movement. That's why I'm on Fox and Newsmax all the time.
How could I forget? And no matter how much he bullies you on air, the listeners will always come to our defense because in reality, the producers are much better than the host in any aspect.
It does bother me that text messengers usually stand up for the help. I mean, like that.
They get us. We're the people's people.
The 253 texted in, only liberals wear sandals. The 541 says, best of luck to Peyton and his new career opportunity. He's going to be missed. Had some great banter going back and forth, and then it stopped loading, so I can't see the rest of it.
Oh, darn.
It's very long.
Oh, good.
Another one. Thank you for all that you've done for the show, Peyton. Even though Jason abused you and threatened you and paid you less than a Chinese Nike factory worker,
wow,
you have been great. Good luck in your future endeavor as a teacher, and please ruffle Jason's hair before you leave.
Oh, that's
definitely not going to happen if he wants to keep that hand. Farewell, Peyton. Godspeed to you in your teaching career. You've been baptized in fire there as Jason's producer, but did your job as a great foil with class and grace. Okay, relax a little bit. Grace. No one has ever
said that. I mean, they're not wrong.
No, they're very wrong. Another one. You will be missed. Go change the world. Yeah, are you going to be one of those teachers that inspire students, or are you going to try to indoctrinate them?
You ever seen the movie Freedom Riders? I think I'm just going to go with that whole thing.
So you're Hillary Swank?
Yeah, I'm going to be Hillary Swank. And you can't say anything because, can't assume gender, so I get to be Hillary Swank.
Again, from far away, I would probably say they, them. Another one from the 360. Best of luck to Peyton. Is Jason your favorite boss ever? You've only had one boss.
I plead the fifth. Can I count like part-time bosses and stuff?
No.
Oh.
It's your first full-time job.
Well, Kathy's my best boss.
Kathy's not your boss. She's my boss.
Which makes her my boss. I fall under Kathy's umbrella.
You've met her three times.
Okay. Kathy's the best boss.
You got a lot of ones saying only liberals wear sandals. Another one from the 360. So long, Peyton. You should have put hair gel in today for one less thumb of the nose to Jason.
I almost came in with a full-blown anti-Jason Rants outfit today. I had it completely in mind. Instead, I opted for my Air Rants ones, which is the unofficial name that I gave the sneakers that you gave me a while back. But if you'd like to know, my outfit that was almost the anti-Rants outfit that I wore today was going to be hair gel, shorts, my Crocs, and a Colin Kaepernick t-shirt.
Yeah, no, he would not have made it through the rest of the day.
I didn't think that the day would have went well for me if I would have done that, so then I opted for the Air Rants ones.
So Peyton has been a very good producer. You've been here three years recently, I feel
three
like.
3 years as of like next week, so I'm a week short of three.
He was not my first choice when he applied, but I did end up settling for him, and that was a very good decision on my part. He's done tremendous work, in large part because I've been able to guide him and teach him how to be a good producer to which he is now abandoning all of those skills to go ahead and teach stupid brats at a high school in the area, which is just odd to me. But you did learn how to deal with a juvenile attitude, and that's good.
Yeah, no, you taught me a lot. You taught me how to swallow my feelings. Mm-hmm. You taught me how to just deal with bullying and never say anything. You taught me not to challenge management and leadership. You taught me a lot of great skills in that sort of way. So I'm very thankful for that. And I will go down, sorry, Max, to say, as the greatest producer of the Jason Ranch Show and the greatest Asian American Latino looking producer in radio history.
I will say the one bummer here is we did have the most diverse staff in this building.
Yes.
This was the most diverse show. And Max is just a white dude.
Yeah, sorry.
And from Oklahoma, too. I mean, oh my gosh, we're just really screwed on that part. How do you feel about taking over for Peyton?
I think decently big shoes to fill, but
they're only
got
a 10 and
really
a half.
Tiny feet.
They're only a 10.
Well,
and
I
half.
Wear a 10, 10 and a half in sandals.
Oh my gosh.
In all actuality, I'd never wear sandals out of the house. I think it's weird. Nobody needs to see my feet. I don't want to see your feet.
Agreed. So, best of luck to Peyton, who's taking over as a teacher. He will impart wisdom into the minds of our future.
Do I leave right now, or do I stay for the rest
no,
of the
show? No, you're staying here until 6 o'clock, and you're podcasting the show.
Oh, I thought I was... He's up to speed. He can podcast it.
Of all my producers, and I've had Nick, who I forgot the first time. I had Nick, Darren, Nicole, Tom, Taylor, and Mac. Taylor and Mac were part-time. And plus you, so 7 in total of all of them, you are in my top 5 of the full-time producers.
Oh, full-time.
If I'm counting the part-time, you're in my top 7 of all time.
Wasn't Maura one of your producers?
No. Oh. She might have filled in a couple times.
Gotcha.
1-800-465-8770 will continue to take your farewell wishes and blah, blah, blah. If you want to be snarky to him and roast him as well on his way out, you can do that. 1-800-465-8770 for your text messages. You're listening to The Jason Ranch Show. Apparently wasn't effective until July 7 because I guess she couldn't clean it up herself because feminism or something. Entomologists identified it as the Atlas moth. And the USDA confirmed it later that month. It's believed to be the first confirmed discovery of this pest in the United States. Could you think it maybe can attack the giant Asian murder hornet?
You really want this to be like a Godzilla movie.
It doesn't. You saw it. Does it not look terrifying?
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's disgusting. I don't like any insects, though, as it is. I have a rule about insects.
It's so gross. What are you supposed to do with it now? Seriously, I don't. So they found it. It's the first known species, sighting at least, in the United States. It says its wingspan is almost 10 inches long. What are you supposed to... You can't take a book and smash it, because that's... You'd get away with it with little bugs, because you can't really see the destruction afterwards. But what are you supposed... I don't even know what a moth does.
I think you make an exhibit at a zoo. Like, you give it a big
They
like,
don't say
atrium.
That they caught it, though.
Oh, it's on the run still?
I don't know. I'm assuming they caught it, but I don't know. What are you supposed to... Where did it come from? It can't just be alone.
Okay,
there's got to be another
when
one.
When a mommy moth and a daddy moth love each other very much.
No, I know,
I know. You get that part?
Sometimes on his birthday. I'm just saying that means there are others.
Yeah.
Here, right?
Sure.
Do you miss a moth that has a 10-inch wingspan?
Maybe they hang out in places that people don't. Like Kelso.
Or Arby's.
Or Arby's, yeah. That's fair. Maybe the Arby's in Kelso.
I'm curious if they're going to kill it. The aroma of Tacoma is making its stop in Vancouver. It does this every so often, maybe about every couple decades or so. The university's corpse flower, they named it Titan Vancouver. It's in bloom at the Vancouver campus, which is the only time most of us remember that Wazoo has a campus in Vancouver, is when we get a story about this stupid, ugly, disgusting, smelly plant. It's the second time the plant has bloomed. The last time was July of 2019, which was 17 years after it was planted. And I remember this being a story back in 2019. The corpse flower's name comes from its smell, which experts describe as rotting flesh. Ugh, it only happens like that when it blooms. The purpose, they say, of its rancid smell is to attract insects that usually feed on dead animals. Those insects then carry pollen from one plant to another, but they do have to get in and out rather quickly before it breaks into song.
Tell me see now. Feed me all night long.
So jovial.
Cause if you feed me, see now, I can grow up big and strong.
I actually took that live from this morning. The plant was raised by Associate Professor of Molecular Biosciences. His name is Steve Sylvester. He planted the seed from another university's Titan Aurorum plant back in 2002. It was grown in a pot on his desk, according to Cairo 7 TV, until it grew a little bit too large. Then it grew in a stairwell in Wazoo's science and engineering building for some time, and it just dawned on me that the two people in the booth next to me are too young to even understand the audio clip I just played. You have no concept of this.
So far over my head.
This makes me sad and old. How have you never heard of The Little Shop of Horror?
Yeah, no, that's not me. Sorry, Chief.
Max? No. Jesus. How do you not know this?
I've heard of Little Shop of Horror.
What is it?
It's a thing. It's a shop that's horrifying.
It's not a real thing. Do you think that came from a documentary? It's a musical. It's with, what's his name, from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Yeah, that guy.
Who got sucker punched in New
York. Wait, is that the one with Steve Martin?
No. Steve Martin is not in it.
That's Rocky Horror Picture Show.
No, he's not in that either.
Steve Martin's in one of those things.
No, he's not in either of them.
Yeah, he's in something. Check it out.
Who is in Little Shop of Horrors? It's been a long time.
See, you don't even know.
Well, I know.
You're so far over your head. I can't believe that you...
I can't just... What is his name? Hold on. It's from 1986, this movie. I remember seeing it as a kid.
75 when
that
came out.
Rick Moranis. There we go.
Oh, the guy from Spaceballs. He could have just said that.
Well, I said Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Spaceballs is better than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That is true. 1-800-465-8770. I feel like everyone in this movie is dead now, except for Rick Moranis. No, yeah, they're all dead.